are the Mormons? What do they believe? Why do Christians consider the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to be outside of the body of Christ? Join us today as I interview Reverend James Likens, a producer and director for Lutheran Hour Ministry. He recently produced a new video for the Men's Network of Lutheran Hour Ministries on Mormonism. He was surprised at how much he learned and what he didn't know about the Mormons. Stay tuned. You won't want to miss today's program. This is Kay Meyer, president of Family Shield Ministries, and your host for today's program. Thank you so much, Jim, for joining me today. Hey, when you entered the parish ministry, what did you know about Mormons?
What I knew about Mormons came from the 12 minutes I had on Mormons at the seminary. Really didn't learn anything. In fact, at one point in time, I can remember in a Bible class, I was talking about the seven golden plates that Joseph Smith found. I thought they were dinner plates, you know. and then I realized that the Book of Mormon was 500 pages. It's really, really small type.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell me a little bit more about this new program from the Men's Network.
Well, first let me say the Men's Network, part of Lutheran Hour Ministries, we have nearly 20,000 individual subscribers and I think over 3,000 congregations that have groups. But it's not just for men, because what we find is lots and lots of pastors use these in their Sunday morning Bible studies. But this program about the Mormons is just absolutely fascinating. When we started out on this program, it was going to be part of a program. We were going to talk about Jehovah's Witness and Christian Science. But as we did research on this, it is so complicated, so complicated. And one of the things that I found out was that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormons, is the fourth largest denomination in America. According to their statistics, between 2000 and 2010, there was an astounding 45% growth from 2.4 million to 6.3. They're headquartered in Salt Lake City. They have 29,000 wards or congregations around the world, 14,000 in the U.S. They have 80,000 missionaries, men between the ages of 19 to 22 and women ages 22 to 24, who spend 2 years on the mission field knocking on doors, and they claim 5.5 baptisms per missionary per year, and the only religious group in America growing faster since 9/11 is Islam, with a growth of 65%. Wow. Now, our program, if someone goes to lhm.org/men and clicks on the promo for this program, Mormons, what they believe, who they are, this is what they'll hear.
Mormons look at Christians with derision.
Mormons are absolutely not Christians, and for most of their history, they have proudly proclaimed that.
The Mormon idea of God is very different from what Christians believe.
There are literally billions of God the Fathers all throughout the universe.
We're taught from a very young age that we can become like God if we obey the Mormon gospel.
The Mormons believe the Bible to be an inadequate source of divine instruction.
Jesus Christ didn't atone on the cross. He atoned for the sins of man in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mormonism is Mormonism, and biblical Christianity is biblical Christianity.
You are saved by grace after all you can do.
You must work out your salvation.
You don't know if you've ever been forgiven.
They just keep going and going and going, and they never know if they've done enough.
When do you know you've done enough? Never. You've never done enough. You can always do more.
It's something you're never going to win. You're never going to get that brass ring. There is no end to the race.
Jim, those are powerful statements. Who are the people in this program?
Well, some of them, Kay, you know. You've had them on your program. Sandra Tanner, Lynn Wilder, Susan Roberts, a director of Christian Outreach from Salt Lake City, Dr. Paul Meyer, a man by the name of Art Vanek, who several years ago wrote a book called Who Wrote the Book of Mormon, which was published by Concordia Publishing House, and Richard Williamson, who was a lifelong Mormon and is a nurse anesthesiologist in Elko, Nevada.
Wow. Wow, that great, great comments. So do Mormons consider themselves to be Christians?
Well, statistics show that 97% of Mormons do consider themselves Christians. And the thing that's concerning is 51% of Christians think Mormons are Christians. And when a missionary, if they knock on a door and they get in somebody's house, somebody will say, well, are you Christian? And they'll respond, well, look at my name tag. It says the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And when we do baptisms, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They say they believe in the Trinity. They say they're saved by grace. They will say Jesus is our Savior.
Yeah. They sound like they're Christians, but in fact, they teach a false Christ and a false gospel. Share more, Jim.
You know, Kay, as I did the research on this, the deeper I dug and the deeper I dug, the darker it got. Darker it got, the distortions of Scripture, the distortions of the Bible, the distortions of who Jesus Christ is, were just, I have to say, nothing other than overwhelming. When we were shooting in Salt Lake City and we were standing in Temple Square, where the big temple is there, my heart just broke for all of those people. And we went to a park called Heritage Park where Brigham Young was supposed to have said, this is the place, this is where we're going to land and do this. And I saw all of these preschool students and kindergarten, grade school students listening to their teachers talking about Joseph Smith, the prophet. My heart broke for those kids. They are being raised in a terrible, terrible darkness.
Yes, they really are. Well, Jim, you brought some audio clips from the program. Can we take a listen to some of those?
The first two sessions of the program deal with the history of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, going to Utah. The third session asks the questions, are Mormons Christians? And then the fourth session deals with what it's like to be a Mormon and what a burden it is. Mm-hmm. Susan Roberts, who, like I said, you've interviewed before, a director of Christian Outreach, was adopted as an infant into a Mormon family. When she was in her late 20s, early 30s, she started doing research and found out that she really didn't believe what she had been taught all these years. Richard Williamson, who also is in this soundbite, is a fascinating man who, after he left the Mormon church, became a deist and wrote some scathing web articles about Mormonism. Let's take a listen to what they had to say.
The outer darkness, or what we would consider hell, is reserved for Lucifer and his angels and for apostates, those who understood and accepted the LDS Church, but then have fallen away.
And as an apostate being cast into outer darkness, the sole criteria for that is this: not a rejection of Jesus Christ, but our rejection of Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon and the Mormon Church. Because I love Jesus Christ, but according to Mormons, I'm going to outer darkness with the devil and his angels.
It's extremely difficult to know that you're responsible for your own salvation. You're always filled with guilt and with shame. You're always questioning whether or not you've done enough or what you've done is the right thing. You're always busy. You don't know if you've ever been forgiven.
The responsibility of saving yourself is overwhelming, because as a Mormon male, you're not just responsible for yourself because of your priesthood and the vast majority who, you know, strive to get married in the Mormon temple and have eternal covenants with their wife and try to raise a family and have an eternal family. It blisters your brain. I think it's somewhat soul destroying.
Wow, Jim, those are heavy burdens those people carried as Mormons.
I can't imagine what it's like to have to be responsible of saving yourself, mm-hmm. to live in the doubt of whether you've ever, ever, ever done enough. And that's what drives Mormons. I know the first time I talked to Lynn Wilder on the telephone, she told me, she said, you know, I'd spend 40 hours a week being a professor, and then I'd have to spend, it wasn't an option.
No.
She'd have to spend 20 to 30 hours a week doing her other work, which is, is a calling which the ward president or the stake bishop says is from the Holy Spirit, and it is not an option. You must do this. Susan, first time I talked with her, she said, it is such a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to have to save yourself.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what I'd said about what Mormons say when they say they're saved by grace. And then they add, after everything you do.
Right.
Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says we're saved by grace through faith. It is a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. But in the Mormon church, they believe they're saved by grace, but only after you have done all your works, and it's only then, if you've done enough, that by God's grace, you will be saved.
Terrible stuff. So tell us a little bit about the Mormon temple.
Well, we have here in St. Louis, we have a Mormon temple. My daughter lives up in Indianapolis, and about a mile from her place, they're building one of the newest Mormon temples. And when this one opened up here, you went to the open house?
I did, yes.
And before I did this project, I thought the Mormon temple was like the basilica for the Catholic Church downtown,
wow.
You know, the big cathedral. And on Sunday, they had these little mini Mormon tabernacle choirs that did all of this singing. But, you know, when that was over, Kay, and when everybody walked out, there was much of the stuff that was torn up and replaced. And then the only people who could go into the temple were those who had a temple recommend, which came from your ward president, your bishop. And you have to have this card, and it's called a temple recommend. But before you go in there the first time, you might have gone into the temple as a teenager, and we'll talk about this more, to be involved in the baptism for the dead. But you don't know what's going to happen because it is a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be up until 1990 that part of the things that you were taught was that if you ever told anything that happened, you wanted your throat cut.
Mm-hmm.
The real important stuff, the really, really good stuff, you don't find out till you get there. And then a lot of people are shocked, but then what they find out is the temple is for the dead.
It's really important for Christians to know and understand what actually goes on in the temple.
Higher than 97% of all activities that go on inside of a Mormon temple are for and in behalf of those who are dead.
It's not a place for Sunday worship. It is a place where the most important rites within Mormonism are conducted.
Because this is where proxy baptisms, proxy sealings, proxy ordinations to priesthoods, sealings meaning a husband and a wife being married or children being sealed to a family in an eternal structure according to Mormonism. And these people are all dead.
When a man or a woman goes to the temple, they go once for themselves in the lifetime. So I'm endowed for myself one time. But to receive, to keep earning my salvation, I have now got to save the dead, which is explained in Doctrine and Covenants. So every time I go back to the temple, it's never for me personally, it's for doing the endowment for the dead.
So Jim, who are those dead people that they're baptizing?
Well, they're ancestors. Now, I'm sure you and every listener on this program has seen the commercials on TV for Ancestry.com. It was started for one reason. So Mormons could find their ancestors. Now you see, if let's say your great grandfather wasn't a Mormon, and he died, you can scan, get his name, take it to the temple. Someone will go through all of the covenants and endowments. It's a 3 to 4 hour process for him. And then he is baptized. He is given the endowment of the priesthood. And by being baptized then, Jesus will go and present to him the opportunity to become a Mormon, to believe the Book of Mormon, to believe that Joseph Smith was the prophet, and then he can be saved after he's dead. Again, doing research, I would read these things and just, how did Joseph Smith come up with this stuff? I don't want to get into Joseph, but how did he come up with this stuff? Once the ancestors are found, the work can be done, and they can be redeemed. Michael Wilder, Lynn Wilder's husband in his last position in the Mormon Church, for his stake, like a district or an archdiocese, he was the head of the Redeem the Dead Committee. And he would encourage the people to spend many hours each month searching their genealogies to find dead people to be baptized. And it again, what a distortion of Scripture. Hebrews says it is appointed once for man to die and then the judgment. Well, for the Mormons, it's appointed for a man once to die and then make sure your relatives get you baptized so you can become a Mormon and attain the celestial heaven and have your own universe someday.
You bet. And Family Shield has done many radio programs on these topics and have a whole program on the baptism for the dead. So we'll let you know at some point our archive page information that you can hear that. But, Jim, as you listen to all these people being interviewed, what did you find most interesting?
Well, there were two things that I found out. One is Mormons have temple garments, which some people call secret underwear. And the other one is secret handshakes. Now, Richard Williamson, who was a high priest in the Mormon Church, who worked in the temple in Nevada, talks about the first time he went to the temple.
Going to the temple the first time, I had no idea what I was getting into. In my day, when I went through the first time, they did what was called the washings and anointings, a very Masonic ritual. After the anointing, they put the garment on you, which is the Mormon secret underwear. So they call it a temple garment, and it's put on you as a reminder of the covenants that you make in the temple, which is the last big thing you have to live up to as a Mormon. And it serves as a reminder for that. And they also promise you that it will be a shield and a protection to you, that it'll help protect you from the buffetings of the devil, and you're instructed to wear it the rest of your life.
He did not like them. He was in Iraq and Afghanistan, and even though you were supposed to wear them all of your life and they were supposed to protect you, it got to the point because of the heat, he didn't wear his anymore. Uh-huh. He put them back on when he came back. But the second thing, I just want to say one other aside on the secret underwear or temple garments. Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram were killed in Carthage, Missouri, when a group of 200 men stormed the jail and shot him. There was another man there who was a Mormon, but before they went to jail, Joseph and Hiram took their temple garments off. They were shot and killed. The guy who left his temple garments on was not shot and killed. So maybe there's anyway, but the second thing were the handshakes. Now, in the Freemasonry rituals, there are handshakes of the Grand Master and so forth. Joseph Smith joined the Masons in Nauvoo, Illinois, and within a couple weeks had promoted himself to 33-degree Mason, which usually takes years. And he got all these other men to join for one reason, because of the covenant in there that if you ever say anything or reveal a secret, you tell them to kill you. What he was hiding was polygamy. But in these handshakes, it's not for the purpose of the living. It's for the purpose of the dead.
In the endowment ceremony, there are four key secret handshakes that are given to the audience members in the temple. And they're given by an ordained temple member, a worker. And these little handshakes are taught to you for one specific purpose. You have to be able to give the secret handshake and the code words associated with and the phraseology associated with each individual handshake in order to get into heaven. Because that shows that you have the pass key to get past the angels that stand as sentinels that guard the way to the tree of life.
So, Jim, wow, interesting, secret handshakes. Let's move to a different topic, although we could keep talking about these things. How difficult is it for Mormons to leave the LDS?
Well, you've done a lot of work with the Jehovah's Witness.
Yes, I have.
And the whole issue of disfellowshipping. Mm-hmm. What happens within the family when somebody is disfellowshipped? When a person decides to leave the Mormon church, especially if it's a husband or a wife and the other one doesn't, divorce quite often happens.
Yes.
But it's not just a religion, it's a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a culture, it is a great extended family. Listen to what Susan Roberts, Sandra Tanner, and Richard Williamson said about this.
It was crazy. I just couldn't believe what I was reading. They don't teach that stuff when you're just a regular member.
My mother was the one that had first initiated questions about Mormonism to me. And so her comment to me was, well, okay, you don't believe it, but that doesn't mean you have to leave. When you're pioneer stock and you're part of the Mormon community, you stay in the community whether it's true or not.
But the absolute last straw was that no matter how much I did, no matter how much work I did, how perfect I was, I could not go to the celestial kingdom unless I had a partner who was worthy. Because for a woman, a man who has the priesthood, who is a worthy priesthood holder, is the one who holds the key to my salvation as a woman.
And so there was pressure from believers and non-believers in Mormonism of staying part of the community. And it was almost like an ethnic identity. You stayed part of the group.
And I finally came to the conclusion, this is horrible. This is not right. It's wrong. That was an epiphany. And I was physically ill for a couple of days because of it. I was distraught. I was heart-wrecked. I didn't know where to go.
You know, I know many ex-Jehovah's Witnesses and ex-Mormons, and it's not a quick and easy exit for them. And these comments are profound. But it isn't just leaving their church. It's leaving many times their families behind, Jim.
Well, and it's not just their families. You know, people, when they think of Salt Lake City, they think everybody in Salt Lake City is a Mormon. Just a little over 40% of the population of Salt Lake City is Mormon. But where Lynn and Micah Wilder lived when she was a professor at Brigham Young University in Alpine, 99% of the people were Mormon. And you get out in some of the smaller towns in Utah, and 100% of the people are Mormon. And leaving the Mormon church in those communities can literally cost you everything.
Some people, and they decide to actually leave the Mormon church, will lose everything they have. They lose their job, their family, their housing. Especially in a small Mormon town, you can be ostracized. There is nothing that it doesn't take away from you.
So, Jim, what happens to Mormons when they leave the Mormon church?
Well, according to Sandra Tanner and Lynn and Michael Wilder and the other people we talked to, 80 to 90% become atheist. Now, why is that? They're taught all of their life that the Christian church is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian Trinity is an aberration. The confessions of the church are an abomination. And so when they leave, there's nothing to turn to because they've been taught, they've been brainwashed
yes.
all of their lives that that's false, and so they end up with nothing.
So what should we do when we meet a Mormon missionary who comes to our door?
Well, Michael Wilder, Lynn Wilder's son, said they would knock on 50 to 100 doors a day and maybe only get into two houses. They lived on ramen soup. And Lynn said, I beg you, if two Mormon missionaries knock at your door, invite them in, give them a meal, listen to them, but then know your own faith.
You know, my husband and I did that some years ago. We invited two Mormon missionaries into our home. I met them in the community. They didn't come to our door. And we loved them, and we shared a lot of the false teachings with them. And these young missionaries that had only been here for a few months started going back, asking questions. They were just looking at our information as open as can be. They actually got pulled away from St. Louis and left. I don't ever know what happened to them, but we prayed for them for many years. Well, I want to just make some announcements as we close the program. Each week, Family Shield offers a booklet, our resources to listeners. This week, we're offering several resources on helping you learn more about Mormonism from a Christian perspective. The first is a booklet entitled The Mormons, Who They Are, What They Believe. We'll also send you several tracts about Mormons' beliefs that Family Shield purchases and gives away to our listeners that request them. These resources will help you learn more about their beliefs and how to respond in love to them and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. To receive copies, call our response center 1-877-317-4326. That number again, 1-877-317-4326. We also want to let you know that Family Shield does have an archive page with many of our past programs. And if you'd like to download those, go to our website at www.familyshieldministries.com. I want to give the last minute of the program to Jim Likens so he can share more with you about how you can order this new product from Lutheran Hour Ministries.
Now, the Men's Network at Lutheran Hour Ministries, the web address is lhm.org/men. And there'll be a banner there for this study. But the great thing about it is you don't have to buy a DVD. All of the programs can be listened to, streamed online. We have over 30 Bible studies that, available, but especially this one is so powerful. That, or you can order a DVD. It comes with a study guide for groups, for Bible studies. And I just really want to encourage people. Call, go to the web, get it.
All right. And do go to the lhm.org/men website to get more information about this. This is Kay Meyer. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Family Shield, a production of Family Shield Ministries. Its mission is to educate and equip people through the power of the gospel to know Christ, grow in His Word, and to strengthen individuals and their families. To learn how you can obtain resources or support the ministry, go to www.familyshieldministries.com or write Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230-015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. And tune in again next week for Family Shield.